I think Théo Malédon said to TJ Shorts, like, my name is Théo Malédon, but tonight you can call me your worst nightmare. Like, I think
oh my god.
Hello again, EuroLeague friends, and welcome back to EuroLeague and Friends, your weekly podcast on YouTube. I am Milena Martin from Madrid, Spain. And as you probably know, we're 9 contributors from 9 different countries that host EuroLeague teams. And we are here to discuss about what's going on in the Turkish Airlines EuroLeague, the competition we love the most. So let me please introduce my co-host of today from Belgrade, Serbia, Aleksandra Radivojević. Alex, what's up? It's so difficult for me, your surname.
I know, but you are the best one who pronounced it in this show.
Really?
So don't worry about that. Yeah, I know it's problematic, but you're very good at it. Hello, everyone. I'm so happy to see you again this week, and let's talk basketball.
Yes, of course, from Paris, France, the unique Luna Jackson. Comment ça va? Salut. It's easy
salut.
For me. It's easy for me. Your
oh,
name.
Yeah. It's a good French, actually, Milena. I like it.
Merci beaucoup.
Bonjour à tous. I think we have a lot to say, so I can wait to discuss it with you guys.
And from Milan, Italy, the unique Giulia Cicchine. Come stai? Tutto a posto?
Tutto a posto. Ciao, okay. Girls. I'm so happy to be here. It's Christmas time and the Italians won. Both the Italians won. So I'm very, very happy to be here and speak with you all.
Okay, let's talk about some interesting topics. The current situation of the Italian teams, also the Serbian teams, Alba Berlin. Yes. Alba Berlin, and the new EuroLeague superstar Nadir Ifi, but there's much more because this is a double round week and there are only 2 teams undefeated in this month, in December, that are Armani Milan and Partizan Girls.
Yeah.
Yep.
That hurts. I wish we could have said Paris, but you know, it's...
I think that you've already cheered up a lot from the beginning of the
exactly.
EuroLeague until the moment. So...
I'll just say
time to change.
Yes.
It's your turn, guys. It's
let
your turn,
us leave
girls.
Our
let's
moment.
Yeah. Let it's your moment.
You know, Alex,
it's my
Julia.
It's my Christmas gift, you know, for you.
Thank you, Santa.
Let's think about Italian team first. Julia.
Okay. Yes, let's just talk about Milan. I'm so happy. I was in the arena last game and the atmosphere, obviously the Italian game, not the one in Baskonia, but... all the atmosphere, all the people involved, all the players, all the coaches, everyone is so happy. I can see the body language. It's obviously changed from the beginning of the season. And I think that this is the most amazing part because it's like they find the key to change the whole season. I remember that I asked to Coach Messina if he expected from Halloween night, it was the rivalry series game derby against Bologna and the record was 1-5. And I said, do you ever expected something like that? It could happen in just a few weeks. And he said, no, because I think that no one expected a total change, a total attitude change from Milan. And I don't know if it's Nico Mannion coming. I don't know if it's Nikola Mirotic changing his mindset or I don't know, something else. But I think that there's something that made them to click and change the whole season. And 6 wins in a row is something that it's not an unusual thing to happen, in particular in EuroLeague. So I'm so happy about that. I'm so happy about the Zach Lidey performances. I know that we're going to talk about that. So
yeah.
Yes.
And do you remember, Julia, from the beginning of the season, you sent us few photos in our group chat on WhatsApp. And the whole empty Mediolanum forum and everything. And you were like, I'm so sad about it. I want the atmosphere like to be different and everything. You see how things changed quickly in the EuroLeague. So, yeah.
So, Alex, in case you want, you can come in Milan, stay with me and hug me. In the days when the forum is empty, you all can come and hug me because, yes, that's Milan. That's the city of Milan. And I don't know if it happens in your country too, but sometimes when the things are not so good in basketball, but even in football, because Milan, it's a very footy city, like Paris, I don't know.
Yes.
But in Spain, in Madrid, I think it's quite the same, in Barcelona. But when the things are not going so good, even the arenas are not that full. But I saw full arenas both in Milan and obviously even in Bologna. And I'm really so, so happy about that. That's probably the gift, the Christmas present that the teams did for me. Like the one, obviously, by you, Luna. So I'm so, so, I know it. I'm keep on repeating that, but I'm so happy about that.
Yeah, this is so cool.
Julia, do you think like Zach Le Day should be called like Zach Le Knight because he shut them off all at this game?
I don't know, but you can ask directly to himself because, you know, he's one of the EuroLeague and Friends podcast fan. So maybe, yeah. Zach, if you're listening to that, please answer to Lona's question.
Yeah, exactly. For me, it's Zach Le Knight from now on.
And I don't know, but Zach, if you're listening to this podcast and in particular this episode, please tell all the people at least one thing that's in your backpack, because I know three things. And I don't know if I can share your secrets to the whole EuroLeague crowd. But in case you want, please text us or, I don't know, do videos or do whatever you can do. And please tell us, because I know that everyone wants to know what's in your silver backpack, because you have to know that after the Partizan moment, at the beginning, he had the black backpack and now he evolved to silver one. Let's go for gold, Zach.
Let's go for gold, yeah.
Zach Le Gold.
Now that we're talking about Milan, I would like to talk about Armani Milan beating FC Barcelona with an amazing 20-0 run in the third quarter. And Nikola Mirotic was back facing his former team with this new jersey of Milan. And he received like a standing ovation. The moment was really emotional. And what do you think of all this? Zach Le Day registered like a new high career, I think with 33 points, was MVP of the game, of course, but also of the round. So everything's going fine for Milan.
Yeah, totally. I really hope, and now I try to be the lawyer of Zach Le Day, but I really hope that he's going to get the not only the gold for the backpack, but even the prize of being the MVP of the month, not only of the round, because I think that as Milan stepped up, I think that he stepped up too. So, and I remember an interview that he did with an Italian newspaper saying that Milan needed time. And it was a thing that I even said, or maybe all the journalists that are following Milan, they all say that team build up with all new faces. They all need time to step up and to find the right chemistry. And I think that he's the chemist. He's the one that, the alchemist. He's the one that create magic in the team. So I really like how he's playing. And I like the chemistry, and I'm sorry to repeat it again, that he has with Nikola Mirotic. It's something... It's not something usual to happen, because these are two players that never played in the same team. And
together,
and
Yes,
and I know that these are champions and they know how to merge even in difficult situations. But we just have to remember that they are just human beings, not only players. So it's not easy to find the right chemistry, but they did. And,
yes.
And fortunately, luckily for Milan, all this chemistry is put it on the court. So...
19.7 rebounds for Nico Mirotic this game. When after the game, Peñarroya, Barcelona's coach, said that the problems for them, of course, started when Jan Vesely get out of the court. What do you think?
Oh, wow.
Yes. I remember that. And I'm sorry, I'm the one speaking, but if you want to say something, but I'm so,
no,
it's so cool to me to be in that position for just once in this season. But I remember that in the pregame shows and in the pregame interviews, all the people from Milan were like to say, we just have to be aware of what Jan Vesely can do. And yes, if you say that he just stepped out of the court, that's the reason probably why, I don't know why, I cannot say that's the reason why Milan won the game, but that's the reason why Barcelona lost it.
Well, yeah, that's it. And talking about Partizan, beat Alba Berlin at the buzzer with an amazing performance of Khalid Jones, the last basket, but also 24 points, too much.
Yeah, 24 points and the last basket. And Tyreek and Kerrick Jones also were very good in that game. But to be honest, the most important part of that win of Partizan against Alba is that they didn't play the perfect game. Like, and they still won. They won by plus one. And that plus was one. Very important. Yeah. And coach Željko Obradović was very mad about how they played defense at first.
Obradović mad? Was... No, no.
No,
you're
no way.
No way. Yeah. Surprise.
Yeah. And to be honest, at the beginning of the game, they played very good in offense, but the defense was terrific. I mean, like I think they made the first rebound after 7 minutes of playing. I've never seen that, to be honest.
Wow. Yeah. It's a lot of time.
Yeah. Yeah, but still, yeah, you know, they were good. They were good in bad parts of the game, like in every other for Partizan. But the most important is to get the win, no matter if you're playing beautiful basketball or no, you know. So, they got some up and downs during the games. And at the moment when we all thought that that the job is done in the third quarter, there goes Alba out of nowhere. So,
what's happening? Yeah.
And I think it was left 1 minute until the end of the game. And Tim Snyder made that basket for plus four for Alba. So that was the huge problem for Partizan at that time. And at the end of the game, we saw those missed free throws in very comic way, I guess. I've never seen such a thing because, you know, in only 1 minute or less, we saw two free throws missed on the opposite side of the courts. Like, it was very, very funny to see that. First McCormack, and I love his reaction after that second free throw that he wanted to miss, but he actually made.
Yeah, it's so
funny. And his reaction, but not only his reaction, also the reaction from around the bench of Partizan. They were like, yes, that was it.
So different phrases.
Yeah, different faces all around the arena. And then on the other side, we got Brandon Davies also trying to miss that free throw shot in regular way, which he did not do. So, yeah, I know that they had also one more practice in Berlin. Partizan got one more practice in Berlin after the game, like tomorrow morning. And we got that viral video from that practice with Coach Obradović trying to learn the players how to miss free throw in a proper way.
A free throw, yeah.
It's like how to unplay basketball, like how to do everything but basketball. Like, what do you think, girls? Do you think like it's a good thing? Like, what do you think on the missed free throws on purpose? Like, do you think it's a fair game or... Sometimes it hurts to my basketball, you know. I'm like,
yes, because we always cheer to see so many baskets, you know, see players putting the ball in the basket. But I don't know, it's a part of the tactic. So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's
I
a strategy.
Part of the show. I mean,
yeah,
it is what it is.
But I mean, I imagine this, you know, this new player entering in EuroLeague and he's like, okay, I put all my free throws. I'm good at this. And then the coach said, no. Today you're gonna learn how to undo it. You know how to miss it.
What? And you so I guess have to.
It's part of the tactic. Don't worry.
you have to understand how hard.
Yeah, how hard it is.
Yeah,
how
it hard is. It is
for the brain.
To miss one.
But
really?
Even for your hands.
Yeah,
even
yeah,
your hands.
Brain, yeah, your hands don't want to.
No,
like,
you can't. Just, but actually, yeah. I was the kind of player that misses all the free throws and
me too.
The throws in general because I have no talent. But
and when they ask you to miss it. You didn't.
It is so hard to do something that you don't, that it's unnatural to do it.
Yeah.
So I feel you, David McCormack. I feel you.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good performance.
We've talked about the undefeated teams, but we need to talk about the leaders. Luna, please. Your two of your teams, Paris and Monaco, are on the top of the list.
Because of course like we didn't have like wins in a row, but the French Touch is here, you know. It's the top two in EuroLeague. It's Oui Oui Baguette two times, so yeah. I'm kind of happy. Like, I always it was like two interesting games like this week. I think I'm super happy for Monaco because they finally found their magic, you know, with the Spanoulis. I think because they said like, oh, we play together until the end. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is basketball. What is this about? Like, thank you.
Did you discover it?
That they were like, okay, so we played together until the end and it actually worked. And I was like, no way. Like, thank you so much. I think that it was like an interesting game, like for Monaco. What did you think about these girls?
Luna, it's strategy. We just talked about that. It's tactics, strategy.
Yeah.
And even for them, maybe the strategy was to play together for the whole game for 40 minutes.
Yeah, crazy.
It seems strange, but it's not.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, sure. But let's talk about like Monaco 30 points difference with Fenerbahce. It's not competition. It's a correction.
Can we talk about revenge, Luna? Or is it too
much? Best revenge, you know, because last year, like, you know, like Fenerbahce was it and Monaco didn't like make it to the Final Four because of Fenerbahce. So I think it was the best revenge ever. You could see like in the look, you know, of of the players, they were like, yeah, what? Who's talking now? So,
and what about really Asbel? Nice. They got a huge home win against Paris. I think they were extra motivated. And Théo Malédon was on fire. Like,
he got
22 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists.
Yeah, 7 assists. Because I think, you know, Théo Malédon said, like, we are not afraid of them. Because I think, I don't know for you, but we were so focused on the winning for Paris. We were so focused, like, please.
And TJ.
Make it, like,
and TJ.
Keep going. So he said, hey. Keep going. And Théo Malédon said, bonjour. Non, merci. This is not my thing. And yeah. So because, you know, CJ Shorts was huge with 29 points. I mean, it was a great game. It wasn't like Paris was starting. Yeah, they tried their best. They were really strong. So I think Théo Malédon said to CJ Shorts, like, my name is Théo Malédon, but tonight you can call me your worst nightmare. Like,
I mean, oh my God. I think it was terrible for
him.
Say
it in French. Say it in French.
Ok, genre, mon nom est Théo Malédon, mais ce soir, tu peux m'appeler ton pire cauchemar. Voilà.
Like, I've understood everything.
Poetry, you know? Always poetry. But no, I think, like, they deserve that win for real. Like, Asvel was really strong and on fire. They really demonstrated, like, a good energy. So I think it's good. But I have a question for you girls. Like, do you think Paris is responsible of that? Because I feel like since a couple of games, a lot of energy, like everybody leveled up, you know, their energy, their motivation, their intensity. And do you think Paris is maybe responsible of this?
Of course.
Yeah. In a way.
Yeah, maybe.
It's a new style.
It's a new style and they're running more. And I think they're passing because the ball. I mean, it's different. Yeah. It's like, we need to be like this or we're going to lose for sure.
Maybe the key is that if I want to beat them or if I want to be just at least like them, I have to try to be like they are. If they stepped up, if they raise the level, if they raise so high the level of the bar, we just have to try to be like them. Because if they win more games in a row, maybe they are the right ones.
But I think, speaking about the Paris, Luna, I think that physical part and the staying in the good shape against them is going to be very, very hard during the season, because the season is so long, so you need to stay fresh to play against them. So Zvezda, I think they were very lucky to play against Paris in the first round of the competition. And they won. But it's gonna be very hard to play against Paris, no matter if they're, you know, on the same level of energy, like in that 10 wins or something. But, you know, it's gonna be very hard. And speaking about Hifi, I want to mention, I don't know if you saw that.
The new EuroLeague superstar. Yeah. He shined in the Summer League, in the Euro Cup, and now in the EuroLeague.
Yeah, for the European basketball in those terms, in terms of the Euro Cup and the EuroLeague, he is a superstar. But for Serbia, he was a superstar like 2 or 3 years ago.
So, oh, really?
Because you discover him. Yeah, actually, yes. There is a viral video of him playing in some 3-on-3 basketball tournament in one small town in Serbia. It's actually a kind of a village. It's about 7,000 or 8,000 people living there. And he was playing.
All of you play basketball there in Serbia?
Well, yeah.
Every single person?
Mostly, yeah. And there was him playing against some guys who are like, you know, ordinary guys from the block.
But it's so down to earth.
Very funny.
It's the most down to earth player, you know. Like,
yeah, I think he actually, his team lost that game, the particular one which his video is from. But we would love to reach out to those guys who played against Hifi and to ask them a few questions now.
can you imagine?
Lona, what do you think?
Yeah, but can you imagine, Alexandra, you see them on TV, they're like, oh, this is the guy from the three tournaments.
Yeah, I played against.
What's going on?
This is the Serbian guy.
Yeah, this is the Stamprican. Like, okay, oh, wow. Okay, yeah. But I think Madrifi is like this. Like, whenever there is like a way to play basketball, it will all the time. It's actually a fun fact in Paris. They're always like, stop, you need to rest. No, I just want to play. Okay. So maybe he went to Serbia just for this because he couldn't play in Paris. He wasn't allowed. So he said, okay. Let's go to Serbia.
But you see the whole fairy tale and the whole story around
him. Yeah, it's so beautiful.
At the end of the day, it's really good message to all of young fans or some youngsters who want to try to play basketball or who are playing now or struggling or something. It's really, you know, it's inspirational.
He was so fast in his career. Like he went to EuroLeague so fast in almost like he went from semi-professional to professional in like 4 years to EuroLeague. Yeah. I mean, so it's really good to see. But I like because like it's a second consecutive 20-point game. You know, like the last two game was more than 20 points, so that's really good for him. And I just want to say because you know him for making threes. You know, like all the time he's known for that. Like the best threes, the best threes on fire. So I would like to say, like, you know, Julia, you said, like, December is about Christmas, right? Christmas time and stuff. So I would say, like, Nadir, if he doesn't decorate trees, he shoots them. I just want to say that.
Oh.
It's so fun, you know. Like, I had this in my mind.
You needed to say it.
I had my joke. I wanted to have a Christmas joke, you know, in this podcast. So yeah, I wanted to say. He's one of the best. You know, his nickname is the Prince of Paris, you know, in here, because he runs the city, you know, it's city, so it's beautiful.
You're all very happy and very, I don't know, having fun, but I'm really worried and really sad.
Oh, about
the Spanish teams, they are not even in playing spots. I mean, since 2004, in every single Final Four, there's been at least one Spanish team. What happened? Yeah. With them. I mean, FC Barcelona lost against Milano, then Real Madrid against Žalgiris with Lonnie Walker shining 21 points. Only the first half. Then he rested a little bit. Francisco 18. And they were like frustrated. 4 technical fouls. The coach was ejected. And also, Baskonia lost against Virtus. Against Dusko Ivanovic that was back in Vitoria in his debut and facing his former team, as I said. And it happened like we said, Efecto Dusko. And Alex, Dusko you know effect. About the Dusko effect.
I know about it. Yeah, I know really good about it. And the fun fact about that game and the previous one, I mean, there was a kind of a transition period for Virtus Bologna, and coach, very young coach, Nenad Jakovljević, also from Serbia, because we spoke already about young coaches and those then that impact that they had on the EuroLeague. I think it's very important for the competition to develop players, but also coaches. So yeah, he actually played against his ex-team also, and he had a chance to work with Dusko Ivanović in Zvezda before. So I think that kind of a connection in between those coaches can be really important for Virtus Bologna. I don't know if Julia think like that, but it was very funny for us to see a young Serbian coach who actually, in basketball terms, grew up in Italy. So basically Julia knows him very good, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and true. To answer to your question, actually, I don't know, because this year I cannot understand what's happening in Bologna, because last year everything was so good. This year everything is so bad. And I cannot describe the roller coaster seasons that Bologna is having, but I really would like to. And regarding what you said, I really hope that the coaching staff will try to help Virtus Bologna players stepping up. And I think that what we saw in Vitoria is just a little start.
The beginning.
That. Yes, it's the beginning.
Listen, next game will be his 400th game in EuroLeague for Dusko.
This is crazy.
Jake Obradovic, Ettore Messina, and Ataman reached before.
Well,
it's crazy.
The thing is that... last game against Vitoria, it was just a special game for him, and Virtus Bologna got the victory. And next game is going to be another special night for Dusko Ivanovic. So I don't know, maybe they're going to get another win. I don't know, probably it's going to be so hard because they're going to play in Athens, but in the Olympiacos side, but who knows what's going to happen.
It's going to be hard, but believe me, I watched with my own eyes Dusko effect on the court, so
me too.
Yeah, me too. And but Milena, I want to ask you first, the end of the game between Virtus and Baskonia. What about that?
Oh my god.
Like, just
what Wilco Ivern did was insane, Julia.
Yes,
Julia, please,
yes,
in the final seconds of a four point play. It was like
In Bologna, they know too well how to deal with 4 points plays because they did with Sasha Danilovic a few years ago. So they know how to deal with all that, and they got just go back in time.
So it was bad.
So intense. I'm sorry for you to tell that, but it was so intense. It was so cool for them, and I think that it was just the fact that they lost just a lot of games in this season in this EuroLeague by one or two possessions, one or two plays, one or two points. So I think that, and I'm sorry for Vittoria, I'm sorry for Baskonia, but that was the lesson learned. They learned how to play in the last possession. And I don't know if it's the Dusko effect just in few weeks, but I really hope
it's
the Dusko effect. You have to tell me.
It can last like for a few weeks or a few months or during the National Cup competitions, you know. You never know. But there is a funny quote from Coach Pavlo Laso. He told me once in one interview, we spoke about Dusko Ivanović and he was leaving the Zvezda at that time. And he was like, I'm not worried about Dusko because when he got fired, he's going to come back to Baskonia anyways.
It's crazy, yeah. I would be suspicious.
Like
I would
again
be suspicious.
And again and again. He's back.
I really like the way that he reacted to the interview at the end of the game because I don't know if you noticed, but the guy was
he's like
it.
A poker face. I don't know how he reacted.
The reaction was like,
come on, Dusko, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
But you know, Dusko was a coach of a local team here in France, you know, of Limoges.
Yeah.
It was like in the early, 24 years ago, I think something like this. So it's funny, you know, to see him like, what? But
yeah,
I think
his
heart
son,
belongs to Baskonia.
Yeah, and his son is working now in Paris, Lona.
Okay, nice. Okay, I didn't know. Okay.
Yeah.
My bad, Alex, tell me about the oxygen fact, because everyone in Bologna is scared about the need of the oxygen mask for the Dusko training, for the Dusko kind of games. So is that true, Milena? What do you think? Is that true?
It's tough.
Okay.
It's true. Yes. Yes, but it's effective. I mean,
that's true.
Yeah. Once during the, you know, the media availability during the practices, like in every practice, we have like 15 open minutes for medias and everything. And we were trying to do the stand up in one corner of the court, trying, you know, not to bother players because they already started to run. And Dusko was like, can you please just move the camera a little bit because they're trying to run less than they should run. So yeah, can you just move a little bit? And I was like,
he's like a soldier. Okay. I mean,
yeah, he is.
It's like this. It's like going to the army for the players, but he's effective. They call him back and again and again. So
he's very good.
He's the right one. So
it's a chosen one.
Right one. Yeah. Let's see what's going to happen in Bologna. So from that moment on, if they're going to be tired or not, or maybe
they need to be ready. They need to be ready.
Yes, they have to.
And talking about Zvezda, with an almost perfect game against Olympiakos, Alex.
Yeah.
And they were missing, I think, the newcomer, John Brown, also Teodosic, Petrusev, and Bolomboy. And even like this.
They missed 4 players. And the most important part for Zvezda right now is going to be how to put Joel Bolomboy in his role again. I mean, that's not going to be very tough for coach. Of course, everyone want to have player as Bolomboy in their team. But he came back playing in one game in ABA League after 2 months pause. So, you know, it's going to be very important to put him back. Waiting for a newcomer, John Brown, obviously. But I think he's going to fit in completely in the team, speaking about the environment that he's going to play in. I think he loves that energy that he's going to get from the stands and everything. But yes, it was offensively almost the perfect game for Zvezda. I think the second half was something very best that Zvezda showed from the beginning of the season. And yes, Olympiacos had also problems, you know, so basically, Zvezda just used those advantages and putting Branko Lazic and Ognjen Dobrić in starting five. That was something amazing to see from coach Yannis Sviropoulos, considering the fact that he literally didn't have Ognjen Dobrić in his plans for previous games, like against Alba or something like that. So yeah, fans were like, we want to see Dobrić back on the court, you know, and they were like, okay, we are still winning and everything's fine, but we want to see Dobrić playing. And coach Yannis like actually recognized that and put it back his role inside the roster. And it was very important to see how actually Zvezda exclude Evan Fournier and Thomas Walkup from the game. I think those two players were very important for Olympiacos, missing some big players in their roster. And coach Bartsokas actually will have like a very, very big job to do in the future. But Milutinov wasn't enough in that position. So it was obvious, and they just used that advantage. And, you know, there goes the energy from the stands, the specific atmosphere between those two clubs also. It was very interesting to see so many fans from Greek. I was in front of the arena 2 hours before the game doing some interviews with the fans. And it was very funny to see so many fans from so many different countries, actually, because I met some fans from Bulgaria, and they really? Were... Yeah, because they were there because of Sasha Vezenko.
Like, yes,
Belgrade.
True.
Yeah, Belgrade is so close to them, and it was cheap enough to come to see Sasha playing in the EuroLeague. So yeah, it was very interesting. It was, with the atmosphere, it was a unique one. I mean, we always say that because of the energy from the stands and everything, but I think this one was very like friendly, which is not a usual. Yeah, but in basketball terms, I think it was a masterpiece from coach Yannis Sviropoulos and his coaching team. Yeah,
I love the quotes that some coaches give us after the games, especially when they lose. For example, Giorgos Batsokas, "We were softer than butter." You know, this team makes me laugh so much.
Listen, we had 17 turnovers. We had 20% for threes. Defensively, we were softer than butter.
They say it was the worst performance of the season. I don't know if this is too much.
Yeah, maybe it's too much if we consider everything, because they missed so many important players. Maybe Filip Petrushev will find his own role now in this situation in Olympiacos, but it's late now, you know. So yeah, I mean, Coach Jorgos Bartsokas is very, I would say, honest with media every time when he's in a press conference. but maybe he's hard on his team right now, but I'm sure that he's gonna find solution to be way more better in the future.
Okay, girls, the rivalry game of the week in round 17 is Real Madrid AS Monaco. Let's talk about it a little bit, Luna.
No, I think it's gonna be a tough game. I'm not gonna lie, I think it's gonna be a really tight game. It's a good rivalry games, but I think Monaco is so good right now. Like, I think Spalletti was like the magic trick, you know, like the good cards to have. Like, I think Spalletti is on a mission, honestly. I can see him, and I think he understands really well his players. I think, like, I never see like Mike James so happy, so thriving, so, you know, so in about collective.
And so, comfortable. They're like friends, colleagues, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, and I think they're really about collectiveness. I think they understood that on this game, on the last game. I think they understood the power of being in a collective, of playing together. So I think it's going to hurt, like, a lot.
We also have Efes, Partizan, Virtus, Barça, Barcelona, Milan, Bayern.
But Milena, say something about Real Madrid.
Oh my God, I don't know what to say. Yeah. Just
oh,
say
wow, Julia.
They need a win. They need a win now. So I hope.
I think
they can
that,
do it, but let's see.
I think that probably this one could be this could have been a very tricky game if we take these two teams and we took them away from the whole situation that Madrid and Monaco is having at the moment.
Yeah.
But if we put them together now, and if we put them together in the standing and in all the situation and everything, all the environment is a very, very, very tough one. But I don't think just for Madrid, for both of the teams, because on one side is just Madrid, and on the other, there's a team that is really stepping up. So I don't know what's going to happen.
I go for Monaco.
I'll go for Monaco too, to be honest.
Yeah,
sorry,
to be
Milena.
Honest, like, the second top
know.
Two. Top
I'm
two
just
right
trying.
Now, like,
do you remember that few episodes ago I said that I didn't have so much faith in Madrid? So I'm just trying to bring Madrid fans back on my side.
On your side, yeah.
yeah.
Nice try, Julia. Nice try. I would love to hear from Lona. What do you expect from that game between Partizan and Asvel?
Oh, wow. Honestly, I could even say who's going to win, because Theo Maledon is the same way. Like, Theo Maledon is on fire. So I'm like, I just let him please move the way, you know? So, but Partizan is Partizan, you know? I saw it in
Partizan
Paris.
Partizan is Jericho.
Yeah, especially, you know? So, no, I think they're not going to let them win easily, of course. But, I don't know. I think it can be tight, but I will say Partizan. But Asvel really shocked me with against Paris. Like really, I was like, okay, this is another kind of Asvel. So I couldn't say really, but yeah. I go, you know, my French side though, so I go for Asvel.
I don't know if you have something like the feeling that everyone thinks about that Asvel and Alba are the underdogs teams,
yeah.
And the teams that everyone think, okay, we're going to play against Asvel, we're going to play against Alba, so we're going to beat them. And that's not like that. In particular, in that season, I saw both the teams live because I was in the arena, one for Virtus Bologna, and everyone I think that remembers that kind of game. And on the other side from Asvel, I was in Milan, and I saw both the teams, what kind of energy they put into the court. They are not the underdogs. They are the teams that really want to play. And I think that for them, the standing is lying because they're very, very strong.
And speaking about Alba, especially, I'm going to be the lawyer for Alba here.
Not me too.
In the podcast, to be honest, because like we underestimate their results, but it's not only about the result. I mean, at first place, I want to have Berlin as a EuroLeague center, you know. That's the first thing. And the other one, someone needs to develop players to the league. So let's let Alba do that. Because now at this season, this moment, we have two Italian guys playing there. It's not it's not by accident. They chose to go to Alba, working with the whole system, with coach Israel Gonzalez, and staying there and feeling there like very comfortable. I'm not sure that we would see Gabriele Procida playing on this level in some other club right now in the EuroLeague. So Alba is
for the Giants,
specific
is the best
specific
team.
Space.
Of course,
for young players, and I love that. I want to see young players, young coaches, working their own job in the league. I'm not only about the results. I mean, I am from Serbia, so I get a bit tired of making good results and thinking about the results and the ambitions and things like those, you know. But I want to see something new happening as Paris, like, let's get some new things in the league.
And I think I try to describe Alba Berlin like a college team, where all the players are so young, but they really want to play and want to fight for the jersey
together.
They wear on. It's not for the name that they have behind, but for the name that they have in front of. That's a very cool thing that I've noticed.
And it's a very friendly club and very open, nice.
Yeah.
I love it. Girls, we gotta go.
Oh, okay.
That's all we have for now.
I have to wrap it up.
So please, you can watch all these amazing games that are coming on EuroLeague TV. And please, about us, subscribe, comment, and share. We will be waiting for your reaction and for your comments. And see you next week. Bye-bye.
Adios.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Ciao.
Bye.